grew concerned when you continued to date Beth at school even after we forbade you to see her, so she went to her parents. Again. I swear under my breath. Gwen doesn't even understand the destruction she's created. Mom continues. Don't be mad at Gwen. She cares for you and she did the right thing. See, her father knows the truth about Beth. She didn't move to New York with Scott all those years ago. Her father went to prison and her mother moved herself and Beth to Louisville. Gwen's mother knows the attendance clerk at Beth's old school in Louisville. I'm sorry, Ryan, but sometimes children are destined to become nothing more than their own parents. Beth is a drug user. She's been arrested, and her reputation with boys at her old school? I don't want to hear anything else. Does Gwen know any of this? Because she didn't before. Otherwise, she would have told me in order to break Beth and me up. Yes. She was there when her parents told us yesterday. With my keys tight in my hands, I turn my back to her. Ryan, Mom calls from the kitchen. Come back. She's too late. I race out to the garage, start the Jeep, and peel out of the driveway. If Gwen knows, then that means she'll tell the rest of the school.
Beth. Scott pulls into a spot next to the front entrance of school and places the car in park. We're early. Neither one of us said much during breakfast. I didn't eat. Neither did he. Are you sure you want to go today? He asks for the 10th time. I'm okay if you stay home. Allison and I heard you pacing downstairs, so I know you didn't sleep the past few nights. She's worried about you, and so am I. I'm too damn tired to even roll my eyes at the lie of Allison being concerned over me. Mom and I were supposed to leave today. I was going to cut school and take a cab into Louisville. Then Mom and I would have left. My insides feel tormented, battered, and bruised. Sort of like if Trent was allowed free rein over my organs. The worst sensation is the tightness in my lungs, the feeling of drowning. I touch the ribbon on my wrist. No. I want to go to school. I need to see Ryan. He said I had roots here. I need to hear him say it again. I need to laugh with Lacey. I want to smile when Logan and Chris egg each other on. I want to nail the anatomy quiz in science. I want to know that I'm not making the worst mistake of my life by leaving my mother behind. My backpack sits on the floorboard, and I hold my science book to my chest. I'm good at science. Really good. My teacher likes me. Instead of yelling at me when I accidentally cursed while giving an answer, she laughed and winked. After class, she told me to watch my fucking language. I earned a B on my last progress report, and last week my teacher told me that I'm close to an A. Me, Beth Risk, I could get an A. I never wanted to tell you about the money. I shake my head and Scott stops talking. I'd rather not think about that. It still hurts too much. I try to wipe out the thoughts of Mom and money and how I'm leaving her behind with Trent. Instead, I try to focus on Lacey. She called me her best friend, and she asked me to stay the night next weekend. Since I left Groveton at the age of 8, I've never had a sleepover with a friend. She said we'd eat frosting and watch movies. I have a best friend who's a girl. You don't look good, kid. I hit Trent Saturday, which means he'll hit her. I choke as I attempt to breathe. How can I do this? I can't leave her behind. Mom swore to me she'd never do heroin. I'm sorry, he says in a simple way. Kind of like when a child finds out that Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny doesn't exist. He's sorry that the fantasy is over, but happy I've entered reality. Mom doesn't fight back when Trent hits her. I should go into Louisville. Dad shot up heroin. He sold it, too. Scott turns off the car. I didn't know. I'm leaving Mom behind, but I owe her. She never left me. He wasn't bad when he shot up. Mostly he slept. The needle scared me. Mom got real nervous if I played too close to them. What happened? Why didn't Mom tell him? Or Shirley? Why do I have to do it? Dad didn't want me. Your dad was young. He didn't know what he wanted. It had nothing to do with you. True. Dad was 17 when I was born. Mom was 15. Dad knew he wanted her. He took her and made me. But Scott is missing the point. He told me that himself because I, made a mistake. I am a mistake. Scott stares at me with those blue eyes that are much gentler than Dad's and much more full of life than Mom's. I don't want anger and bitterness in my eyes. When I was in third grade, a guy came to the trailer, and at first, everything was fine. But then he and Dad began to argue. The guy reached to the back of his jeans, and he pulled out a gun. A shiver runs through my body. My eyes dart in front of me. I see my backpack, the floorboard, the stereo in the car. But my body reacts like I'm back in the trailer. He pointed it at Dad. When Dad laughed, he pointed the gun at me. It was so close. Very close. Close enough, I could feel the metal on my forehead. Mom screamed, and warm urine streamed down my legs onto the floor. Elizabeth, Scott softly urges. They argued some more, and he cocked the trigger. It made a frightening sound. Click, clitch. I rubbed the goosebumps forming on my arms. I knew I was going to die. And I remember praying to God that it wouldn't hurt. Mom screamed and screamed and screamed. Dad threw a sack of money at him. He uncocked the gun and lowered it. I ran, past Mom, who collapsed on the floor crying, past Dad, cursing the man out, past the bathroom and into Mom and Dad's bedroom. I hid under the bed and I called the police. Scott shakes his head as he stares out the windshield to the entrance of my school. How much heroin was in the house? I don't know, I whisper. Mom found me on the phone and she realized what I had done. Dad was still trying to flush the heroin down the toilet when Lacey's dad placed the handcuffs on his wrist. They cuffed Mom too and she cried so hard that her body shook. While they searched the house, Mom and Dad were on their knees in the living room. Elizabeth, it's a plea, but I'm not sure what he expects from me. Elizabeth is dead, Scott. Please stop calling me that. I remember my father's glare as Lacey's dad walked me past them. I died to him in that moment. Mom was put on probation. Dad served 6 months. After he got out, he drove into Louisville to see me. He got down on his knees, looked me in the eye, and told me I was the worst thing that ever happened to him. He stood, faced my mother, and asked if she was coming with him. Mom decided to stay with me. And he left. And Mom didn't leave, because she chose me. Even though she loved my father, she stayed. I owe her. Scott turns the car back on. I'm taking you home. No! I need to get an A in science. I need to see Ryan go to his game and know I'm making the right decision. I have a life here in Groveton, and I need to be okay with letting my mom go. I have a test today, then Ryan's game after school. Let me do this. If it's what you want, fine. But we're talking about this when you get home. Home. I have no idea what that word really means. The bell rings as I slip into the building and weave through the hallway filled with students. My own skin feels strange on my body. Almost like it's too tight and needs to be shed. For years, I focused on skipping class, and today, I fought to go to school. What is wrong with me? A girl runs into my shoulder and laughs the moment she sees who she's collided with. It's her, her friend loudly whispers. The hair on the back of my neck stands on end. It's me? What does that mean? I continue down the hallway, and a group of guys stop talking and watch as I walk past. I clutch the science book as a shield. I didn't even garner this much attention on my first day. Screw them. I want to find Ryan and go to science. He won the writing competition, and he has his last game this afternoon. I haven't even properly congratulated him. I round the corner and stop the moment I spot a crowd of people near my locker. An underclassman nods her head in my direction. She's here. The whispering and laughing cease, and people distance themselves from me and my locker. Dread forces all hope to abandon my body. Written on my locker is the word I fear the most. Whore. Whore. I slept with Ryan on Friday night. Whore. But he came to the hospital Saturday. He texted and called on Sunday, but I was too exhausted to call back. Ryan cares. Whore. I spin on my heel and try to escape down the hallway, away from my locker, away from the whispers and the laughter. I round a corner and slam into a friend of Gwen's. Well, look who it is, Beth Risk. Is it true you were arrested in Louisville? The only person I told about that was Ryan. Go to hell. Her friends laugh and she smiles. Gwen tried to warn you. Ryan and his friends take dares very seriously. What made you think you were anything more than that? Ryan gave me a bottle of rain. He told me he loved me. He wouldn't tell people that we slept together or that I was arrested in Louisville. He wouldn't call me a whore. I'm not a dare. Really? Then how come Ryan's parents didn't know that you guys were dating? In fact, his mom told my mom that they forbade him to date you weeks ago. The ice pick straight to my heart leaves me speechless and I step back, but my retreat isn't enough. She glances at her friends, then narrows her eyes at me. Not only were you a dare, but you were Ryan's dirty little secret.
Ryan. I park the Jeep behind Chris's truck and hop out. I've got to find Beth, and I need to find Gwen. I'll hand Gwen homecoming. I'll tell her that Beth and I will drop out as long as Gwen keeps Beth's secrets. Chris and Logan lean against the tailgate and smile when they notice me. Today could be a nightmare for Beth, and I'm going to need their help. Have you seen Beth? Both of them shake their heads. Have you seen Lacey? Asks Chris. She was supposed to meet me here. I scan the parking lot and spot Lacey bolting out the side doors. There she is. Chris straightens as he watches her hurry to us. Something's wrong. She bypasses Chris, reaches out, and slaps me across the face. The pain sucks. But the worst part is the tears streaming down Lacey's face. How could you? She chokes out. Lacey's never hit me before. She's never hit anyone before. Chris places himself between me and Lacey while Logan yells at the people loitering to witness the show to keep moving. Lace, what the hell? Chris says. Lacey shoves Chris and the shoves turn frighteningly close to hitting. What the hell? She screams. What the hell is wrong with you? You were supposed to be her friend. From behind her, Logan pulls her hands to her sides. Slow it down, Lace. Tell us what's wrong. Tears overflow from her eyes while she stares at me. You promised me you wouldn't hurt her. You promised she was no longer a dare. Beth. She means Beth. She wasn't. I mean, she was, but you know I called it off. She jerks her arms out of Logan's grasp, and he stays near in case she decides to attack again. Everyone is saying Chris and Logan dared you to sleep with her. They said you won when you took Beth into the woods during the last field party. They said you slept with her and that she told you about her past. Everyone knows what happened to her in Louisville. Everyone knows. Gwen. I smack my fist into the side of Chris's truck. Have you seen Beth? Lacey shakes her head. Tell me you didn't do it. Please. Chris hesitantly touches her cheek. No, baby. The dare ended the night Ryan fell for her. She wipes the tears from her face. Someone wrote whore on her locker. Logan runs both hands over his face while Chris swears. The nightmare has already begun. I search the hallways for Beth, and I come up empty. The first warning bell rings, and from the opposite end of the hallway, Lacey shakes her head. Damn it! They can't find her either. Logan taps my shoulder. She just walked into class. Finally, I take off down the hallway and step into class right when the tardy bell rings. Lacey, Chris, and Logan trail behind me. Chris slaps my back and the three of them head for our seats. Someone shushes the whispering and laughing as everyone watches me. I study Beth. She's reclaimed the seat in the corner of the room instead of the one she took next to me weeks ago. Just like the first day of school, Beth's hair hides her face and she doodles in her notebook. My ribbon no longer graces her wrist. An adult I don't know clears her throat. We must have a sub today. Do you mind taking your seat? Beth glances up at me, then immediately looks back down. It's as if I swallowed knives. She's heard the rumors, and she believes them. Perfection. It's what everyone expects from me. Take my seat, do my work, go to practice, play ball, keep everything bottled up, and let your insides rot as long as the outside looks perfect. Beth? She keeps her head down, and the substitute steps in my line of view. Either find a seat or find yourself in detention this afternoon. Ryan? Chris says, the game. Game against Northside. I promised Chris I wouldn't miss another game, and detention would bar me from keeping that promise. Reluctantly, I take my seat and turn to stare at Beth, willing her to look at me. We'll catch her after class, Chris whispers to me from across the aisle. The bell rings, and it's a race of who can get out of their seat faster. Beth is out of the door first, and her size makes it possible for her to duck and weave through the mass of bodies crowding the hallway. My next class is in the opposite direction of where she's headed, but I don't care. She runs down the history hallway, and I grab her arm right before she enters the safety of the classroom. I lean in and look straight into her eyes. You know I love you. Her eyes search my face, and she appears as broken as she did 2 days ago at the hospital. Did you fuck me to win a dare? I fight the urge to shake her. I didn't fuck you. I made love to you. Don't do this, Beth. Don't take what was beautiful between us and make it ugly. Water fills her eyes, and my heart slices into a million pieces. Beth isn't a crier, and I'm making her cry. I thought making love would prove how much I loved her, prove that she could trust me, and it's killing me to know that one act could be what's tearing us apart. I gave you my word that the dare was over. When have I ever lied to you? On the front steps of Scott's house, you promised me I wouldn't be a secret. I'm standing here breaking the PDA rules by holding her close to me. How can she believe I lied? I've told everyone at school. I've brought you to games. I've taken you to parties. Tell me you told your parents? Tell me that when your parents confronted you about us, you told them we were a couple? My grip on her loosens, and she jerks her arm away. How could she know that? Over Beth's shoulder, I spot Gwen skulking at the end of the hallway. She glances at me, then immediately averts her gaze. Damn it. Beth kneads her eyes with her hands. I fell for the jock again. The worst part is I told you how to play me. Convince me you love me and I'll fall into your bed. I'm so fucking stupid. The warning bell rings and I watch in shock as Beth turns. No. She can't believe that. I do love you. Beth pauses in the door frame, and I pray she'll say she believes me. No, you don't. You don't want to feel bad for winning the dare. She walks into class, and the tardy bell rings. Beth's second period teacher assesses me. Get to class. Then closes the door in my face. Feeling numb,
I turn in the direction of my next class. I made love to Beth, and I lost her. I swallow as my own eyes sting. It was too soon. She didn't trust me enough. What we did together, it was too much, too fast. I run a hand over my head and try to comprehend how everything blew out of control.
Ryan,
calls Gwen from behind me.
Ryan, please wait.
Rage shoots through my veins as I spin in her direction and tower over her. Are you finally happy, Gwen? Congratulations. You've bagged homecoming. I hope it was worth it. Her eyes widen and she steps back.
I didn't do it for homecoming.
Then why? Why would you hurt me like this? She blinks.
Hurt you? I've said nothing about you.
If you hurt her, you hurt me. I love her. Gwen's face pales.
You only think you love her. I just told a few people. Just enough so word would get back to you because I knew you wouldn't listen to me. I didn't know that they'd call her a whore. I didn't know about the locker. I swear, Ryan, I feel awful. I do. I had no idea it would go down like this.
When I angle my body away from her, she tries to reach out to me.
Please, you have to believe me. Ryan.
I move out of range and her fingers hover in the air for a second before dropping to her side.
She's all wrong for you. I thought if you heard it, maybe from other people, you'd see what she really is and then you'd...
Nausea crawls up my throat.
What?
What did you think I'd do? Tears pool in her eyes and she shrugs.
Come back to me?
I pop my neck, trying to relieve the tension, but find the act did nothing to help. We were over long before Beth came to this school. If you can't understand that, try this. I love her, Gwen. I love her. I turn my back and head in the direction of my next class. This school isn't that big, and because of that, Beth won't be able to hide from me for long.
Beth, I knew this material last week. I know I did. I studied every night, and Scott quizzed me most mornings. But I'm drawing blanks. The words jumble as I read them, which means my papers blink. The bell rings. Please bring your test to me, says Mrs. Hayes. The hand clutching my pencil sweats. I've written my name. That's it. My head falls forward. I failed. Again. This is who I was meant to be. Beth, says Mrs. Hayes. She walks back to my seat after everyone else turns in their tests and leaves. Are you okay? No. I'm a whore and I'm stupid. I snatch my backpack and leave the blank test on my desk. I am not okay. I burst out of class. Groveton is a mistake. I'm a mistake. Ryan lied to me. He used me. I was a dare. I'm nothing more than a stupid whore who makes mistake after mistake after mistake. Just like my mom. People laugh as I pass. They're judging me, and their judgment is spot on. I don't belong here. I never have. I can't go to lunch, and I can't handle the thought of Jim. I don't want to listen to Ryan lie so he can make himself feel better to Gwen's laughter, because I'm the trash she wants me to be, or to Lacey's pleas to talk to her. Ryan rounds the corner, and I duck into the hallway where I saw Isaiah on my first day of school. God, I have fucked everything up. I lost my best friend because I fell in love with a stupid jock who doesn't love me back. My fingers tunnel into my hair, and I pull hard to cause pain. Stupid, stupid, stupid me. Why couldn't I do one thing right in my life? If I'd left with my mother weeks ago, none of this would have ever happened. I stop breathing. I can still go. I packed my remaining money and a change of clothes in my bag last week. The backpack weighs me down. The books I can ditch in my locker. The other items that I kept as reminders can also be left. But not here. I know exactly where I can unload them on my way out of town.
Ryan. Smack. The ball collides with my glove. Bottom of the six and the game is tied. I wiggle the finger of my throwing hand to keep them from becoming stiff from the cold. Late October and it's the coldest day of the year. Cold weather games bring strange sensations. The wind burns my cheeks and fingers, but sweat forms from the heat trap beneath the mock turtleneck of my uniform.
Let's go, Ryan!
Dad calls from the stands. Playing the perfect wife and mother, Mom sits right beside him with a fleece blanket covering her legs. My eyes scan the bleachers again. Beth's not here, and she won't be showing. A high-pitched whistle originates from home plate. The new batter is taking his time for the third pitch in what I assume is an attempt to freeze me out. Logan steps to the left of the batter's box and motions for me to throw. He wants me to keep moving so my muscles will stay warm. I'm distracted and have pitched the shittiest game of my life. My arm winds back, releases, and I curse when the ball flies 2 feet to the left of Logan's glove. Logan pulls the catcher's mask to the top of his head and walks toward the mound. We'll find her, Chris says as he approaches me from the right. Lacey's already looking for her, and after the game, me, you, and Logan will do whatever we have to do to get her to listen. Beth skipped class. I should have gone after her then, but Coach would have kept me from playing. I can't focus. Yeah, you can, says Chris. You have ice water in your veins when you pitch. Go to that place and you'll be fine. How do I explain that I never had ice water in my veins when I pitch? That there was a constant, burning pressure that threatens to destroy my pitch when I'm not distracted?
Your pitch?
Logan starts when he reaches the mound. Is everywhere.
Rein it in, and you'll get to her faster.
He's right. I will. Chris swears under his breath, and I follow his troubled gaze to the first baseline fence. Lacey stands on the opposite side, with Beth's pack dangling from her shoulder. Logan gets in my face.
One pitch. One more pitch.
We've got another inning, Chris protests. Logan throws him a glare.
One pitch.
They return to their spots, and the batter digs his cleats into the dirt. This one's for Beth. Logan flashes 2-piece signs in a row. I nod, glance over my left shoulder, and spot a shadow of movement. Crossing my right arm over my left, I throw the ball to the first baseman and hear the sweet word come out of the ump's mouth.
Out!
The crowd cheers, and I run off the field, into the dugout, and out to the other side. Lacey's eyes are wide with panic, and she extends Beth's backpack to me. I don't know what it means. I tear the pack open as Lacey continues to talk. I drove by her house, but no one was there. I drove around town and came up with nothing. So I went home, hoping that maybe she dropped by or called the landline, and I found this. The pressure that always threatens me explodes, and I toss the pack to the ground. My hand clutches the bottle of rainwater with the ribbons tied to it. I suck in a breath before unfolding the note tucked into the ribbons. I thought I could, but I can't. Damn it. Her mom. She's gone after her mom, and Beth has had enough time to find a way into Louisville by now. I race back into the dugout and grab my bat bag.
Ryan?
Coach calls from the other end of the dugout. I'm sorry. I've got an emergency. Put Will in for me. I slip the bottle of water into my bag and toss it over my shoulder. Chris wraps a solid hand around my arm.
Where are you going?
We have one more inning and the game is tied. Will can't hold these batters like you can. Beth's running away. If I don't stop her, I'll lose her. Chris tightens his grip. You promised me you'd never walk from another game.
The ice water Chris prayed for finally enters my veins. Let me go before I physically remove your hand from my arm.
You're choosing her over us?
Logan angles himself between me and Chris.
Let him go, Chris.
He'd never dog you if you chose Lacey over a game.
That's different,
yells Chris. I love Lacey.
Take a look at him.
Logan gestures to me.
He's in love with Beth. You and Lacey don't own that emotion.
Chris eyes me, and I see the war inside him. He yanks the hat off his head and turns from me.
I'm letting him down, but I let Beth down first.
Logan nods to me, and I give him a quick nod of thanks back. The crowd buzzes with conversation as I exit the dugout. I keep my head down and ignore how people stare and even the occasional shout. The perfect stone is doing a very imperfect thing, and I don't give a damn what anyone thinks about it. I hear loud thumping footfalls striking the metal bleachers. If I'm lucky, I can hightail it to my Jeep before Dad reaches the parking lot. Like the rest of today, I'm not lucky.
Ryan!
I don't have time for this. I open the Jeep's door and toss my bag in the back. Dad grabs hold of the door.
What are you doing? You have another inning to play, and the game is tied.
Beth's in trouble, and I'm going after her.
No, you're not. You're going to finish that game.
Dad's face reddens, and he places his hands on his hips. In 25 years, I'll be his clone if I continue on my current path. My entire life, I desired nothing more than to be him. It's funny how life changes. If I don't go after her, she'll be gone.
Let her go. She needs to be gone. Since she entered your life, you've lost focus on everything that's important. You're letting down your team, Ryan. You are single-handedly destroying your career in baseball. Everything I've worked so hard for.
A strange mixture of ice and heat fights through my veins as I go toe-to-toe with my father.
You haven't worked hard for it.
I have.
This is my life, not yours. If I want to play baseball, I'll play. If I want to go to college, I'll go to college. If I want to talk to my brother, I will. If I want to go after Beth, I am. You are not making my decisions anymore.
Spit flies out of his mouth as he yells at me.
You're going to destroy your life over a drug-using waste of life?
Power surges through me, and my fist connects with his face. Adrenaline shakes my body, and I watch as my father stumbles back.
Don't you ever call her that again.
I jump into the Jeep, turn on the engine, and push the accelerator.
I don't lose, and I'm not losing her.
Beth. I rub my hands together and blow into them for possibly the 30th time. Hiding in the alleyway behind the bar, I stare at Mom's apartment. Trent entered right after I arrived, and he's been in there for 3 hours. I have no choice but to wait. He'll kill me if he sees me again. The door to the apartment opens, and the bald asshole finally stumbles out. Fucking fabulous. He's tweaking, which means he'll be in a kicking baby's mood. I'll take a heavy heroin user over a tweaker any day. Resting his weight against his car door, Trent fumbles his keys, drops them, and dips low to pick them back up. Yeah, asshole, you belong behind a wheel. I hope you drive into a wall and die. His car doesn't start immediately. The engine whines as he turns it over once. Come on. The third time, the engine groans to life. The car trembles when he backs it out and eases onto the main road. I dash across the parking lot and bang on Mom's door as I try the knob. It doesn't give, but I hear Mom undoing the chains on the other side. She opens the door and wavers when she spots me. Elizabeth! I push in. Did you pack? No, she says. I'm not sure we should do this. God, this guy is a slob. His clothes are everywhere, and so are the little empty packets that hold his meth. I grab a garbage bag and head into the bathroom. What do you need? She follows me and rubs her bare arm. I remember Dad doing that. It means she's craving a hit. Withdrawal with her is going to be a bitch. Trent took care of me after I came home from the hospital. He says he's sorry for how he treats me and he wants to start again. Trent's full of shit. I pitch into the bag her toothbrush, hairbrush, then pause when I notice a small brown bag behind Mom's tampons. What's this? I don't know. Her hand moves up and down her arm again. Shirley put it in there when she brought me home. I snatch the bag. I thought you said Trent took care of you when you came home. I meant to say he came by here this morning. Inside the brown bag are a roll of 50s and a prescription bottle of the drug needed to help Mom detox from heroin. Thank you, Shirley. I try not to think about what she sold or what she did for the money. It's here, and I need it, and that's good enough for the moment. I throw everything into the garbage bag and go into her bedroom. The pickings are slim in the clothing department, and I toss the less stained and torn clothes into the bag. Elizabeth, Mom says in a whine. Maybe we should put it off by a day or two. We are not putting it off by a day or two. We're leaving. Where are the keys to the car? I don't know. Which means she does know. I swing the bag full of stuff and knock her liquor bottles off the bedside table. Glass shatters against the wall. That's what Trent's going to do to your head one of these days. We're getting out of here. Frustrated, I stalk out of the room and quickly glance toward the spare bedroom. The door is open for once, and I freeze. You have got to be fucking kidding me. I rest my head against the doorframe, too dizzy with disappointment to stay upright on my own. On an old coffee table I found near a dumpster a couple of years ago are several bags of white powder. Smaller baggies and balloons lie on the floor. I can barely whisper the words. You're selling heroin. Mom shoves me out of the way and shuts the door. No. Trent does. I used to let him keep it here overnight at times. But after the night you busted out his windows, the police got nosy with him, so he brought it here for good. It was the least I could do. My fingers open and close. You busted out the windows of Trent's car. I took the fall so they wouldn't send you to prison. Pretend you didn't see it, Elizabeth. Trent will be mad, you know. He thinks you ratted him out to the police. What the fuck is wrong with you? I shout in her face. Do you not remember the outcome of our last heroin experience? Forming a gun with my fingers, I point it to my forehead. He was going to kill me, Mom. I was 8 years old. He pushed the gun against my head and cocked the damn trigger. Mom shakes her head too quickly and won't stop. No, he wouldn't have. Your father said he was just trying to scare me and your dad. Your father said you were safe the whole time. He swore it. How can she lie to herself so easily? How can she continue to turn away from the truth again and again? Then Mom rubs her arm. I stumble back and hit the wall. God, I'm no different. All the signs of a heroin user were there, for weeks if not longer, and I ignored every single one. But I'm not ignoring the truth. Not anymore. I go into the living room and start throwing crap off the kitchen counter to find her keys. I'll drag her out by her hair if I have to. The knob on the front door turns and my heart squeezes and drops. I've taken too long, and Trent is going to kill me.
Ryan. Beth blinks rapidly when I walk in. Standing in a tiny kitchen, she holds a garbage bag. I've never been so relieved to see anyone in my life. Nor have I ever craved to shake someone so badly. Going somewhere? I focus on remaining calm. Beth doesn't react well to threats or anger or anyone standing in the way of her doing anything. Beth turns her back to me and throws paper and trash onto the floor. Get out.
Fine with me. Let's go. We've come into Louisville twice for dinner, and we have yet to have that date.
Beth leaves the kitchen and rummages through a card table. Her hands shake, and her face is too pale against her black hair.
I'm not playing, Ryan. Mom and I are leaving today. That's been the plan the entire time, remember?
It was.
My eyes dart around the confined room, trying to pinpoint the threat that has Beth terrified. Adrenaline pours into my bloodstream, preparing me for the unseen attack.
But you changed your mind on Saturday.
A woman enters the living room. Too thin. Stringy blonde hair. It's the first time I've seen Beth's mother up close.
Who are you? She asks.
I force myself to look into her flat eyes. They're the same color as Beth's, but without the shine.
I'm Beth's boyfriend, Ryan.
Her lips struggle into a weak smile.
You have a boyfriend, Elizabeth?
Beth tosses an empty plastic 2-liter onto the floor.
Ex-boyfriend. He fucked me, and then he told his mommy and daddy he hated me. Where are the damned keys, Mom?
My calm snaps.
I didn't do that to you. If you'll give me a chance, I'll explain about my parents.
Mom? Beth screams, and her mother flinches.
Keys? Now!
Okay,
she says and shuffles down the hallway. Beth whirls, and her nostrils flare.
Get out, Ryan.
Not without you. Her fists curl, and she smacks her leg with the words,
My mom is an alcoholic and a heroin addict. Her boyfriend's favorite pastime is beating the shit out of me, and if I'm not around, he has no problem taking his aggressions out on my mother. I have maybe minutes to get her out before he comes back and kills us all.
An eerie calm courses through me. Nobody hurts my girl. He hits you?
Yes, Ryan. He hits me, and kicks me, and slaps me. I'm his own personal violent video game. If I don't get my mom out of here, he's gonna kill her. And if he doesn't, then the heroine will.
Every word Beth says is probably true, but I don't care about her mother. Beth is my only concern. What's gonna happen to you if I let you walk out this door with your mother? Do you honestly think that getting in a car and driving to a different town is going to make anything better?
Beth. Yes, I automatically answer, but a voice in the back of my head screams no. It has to. Looking out of place in his baseball uniform, Ryan takes up almost the entire living room thanks to his large body. You know what I think? I think you lied to me. He did, and I tried desperately to hold on to that. I screwed up. I'm not perfect. I lied to my parents about us, but I've owned up to dating you. They know I love you. It's the right words, but you're too late. Bullshit. Anger blazes out of his eyes. For months, I thought you were the most courageous person I knew. You've never apologized for being yourself, but standing here right now, I realize you're a coward. You're so terrified of feeling anything that you'd rather give up everything good in Groveton in order to feel safe. My head jerks to the side and my eyes narrow. Safe? I'm standing here in a fucking drug den trying to save my mother from a boyfriend who will be thrilled to kill me, then torture her. There is nothing safe about this. This is your safe. You'd rather struggle in this life than live in Groveton. He glances at the squalor of the apartment. You feel in Groveton. In this life, you don't have to feel a thing, and that makes you a coward. I drop the bag in my hand and raise a shaky hand to my forehead. He's wrong. He has to be. That's not why I'm running. I need to save my mom, because if I don't, who will? Ryan closes the gap between us. My heart stutters when he places a hand on my waist. I wish I could say that I'm the one that drove you away, but I'm not. I don't have that power. You've been running from the moment I met you, and I'd bet you were running before that. You're a lot like that bird in the barn. You're so scared you're going to be caged and forever, you can't see the way out. You smack yourself against the wall again and again and again. The door is open, Beth. Stop running in circles and walk out. His other hand brushes the hair from my face, and my lower lip begins to tremble. If I leave her, she'll die. My gut twists and my eyes burn. He cups my face with his hands, and I lean into his touch. Ryan can always do this. Make me feel safe. He continues. If you stay, it'll kill you. Maybe not physically, but you'll die on the inside. If you don't want me, I'll give you your space. But you have built so much more in Groveton besides me. Give up on us if you need to. But don't give up on you. The instinct is to flee. Instead, I grab onto his arms. Fear claws at me, and I don't like how naked it makes me feel. I'm scared. Ryan lowers his forehead to mine. So am I. But I'll be less scared when we leave here. The front door opens. Bright sunlight blazes through the door, and a gust of cold air announces the entrance of the devil. Trent's looming figure stalks into the living room. Losing control of my body, I feel my hands drop to my sides as my heart jumps to my throat. Ryan edges his body in front of mine. Trent slams the door behind him and chuckles when he sees me. His eyes dart to the bag by my feet. You should have stayed away. Behind me, I hear the soft shuffles of my mother. Elizabeth was just leaving. Urging me in the direction of the door, Ryan presses his hand into my back. My mind screams, run! My feet cement to the floor. It doesn't matter if I move or not. Trent won't let me walk out that door again. Let Ryan go. I say it as a plea, and Trent flashes a smile. It's the first time I've asked anything of him, and the bastard enjoys it. Trent opens a box of cigarettes, puts one in his mouth, and lights it. He sucks in a long drag and blows out the smoke as he stares at me. I shiver as I watch the glowing ashes. The last time, Trent enjoyed listening to me scream when he burned holes in my arms. Go ahead, boy. Get out. My problem isn't with you. Not without Beth. Rage shakes Ryan's voice. I love Ryan despite everything, and if it weren't for me, he wouldn't be here. Shoving my hands against his chest, I push him away. Go! Ryan sizes Trent up, and Trent does the same to him. Walk out the door, Beth, says Ryan. He's not going to touch you. Trent laughs. Ryan is sturdy, strong, and young. Trent is larger, older, and a mean bastard. Last year, Isaiah and Noah took him on, and the two survived because my uncle threatened Trent with a gun. My uncle isn't here, and I'm not lucky enough to own a gun. Ryan inches toward me and the door. His eyes never leave Trent. Let's go. My pulse pounds in my ears. Maybe we can walk out. Mom? Don't you dare move, Skye, Trent says. I hold my hand out to her. Come with us. Ryan yells my name as his arms fly out in front of me. Pain slices my head. The ground rushes toward my face. A combination of darkness and light flickers from behind my closed lids. Noises blend into high-pitched buzzing as warm liquid trickles from above my eyebrow to the bridge of my nose. I lick my lips and flinch at the salty taste of blood. My eyelids flutter and I fight to keep them open. The room shifts and spins. Forcing my eyes to focus, I see the shattered remains of Mom's table lamp on the floor next to me. The buzzing fades, and I turn my head to the sound of a struggle and grunts. Ryan shoves Trent into the front door by tackling him at the waist. Trent quickly responds by punching Ryan in the stomach. Ceramic cuts into my hand as I crawl toward them. Stop! My voice comes out soft and hoarse. Ryan stumbles, but is able to block a hit, then buys himself seconds by socking Trent in the jaw. I force pressure onto my leg so I can stand, but I fall. Sitting in the fetal position on the other side of the room, Mom rocks back and forth on the floor. I swallow and force words out of my raw throat. Help, Ryan, Mom! I can't! He's going to kill us! Mom lowers her head to her knees and continues to rock. Mom! I scream, please! Mom hums loudly and my heart breaks open. She's never going to change. No matter what I do, no matter how I try, my mom will always be this poor, pathetic waste of life. I won't be her. I can't. I grab onto an overturned chair and force myself to my feet. Trent tackles Ryan and they both go crashing to the floor. Leave him alone! Trent rises to his knees, punches Ryan in the face, and Ryan falls once more. Panic tears at me. He's going to kill Ryan in front of me. The fucking bastard is going to take away everything I love. I launch myself at him and smack and hit and claw. He bends my wrists and my arm in a way not physically possible. Bones in my arm snap and pop. A scream tears through my body as pain blinds me. He lets go and I fall to my knees in agony. My scream becomes silent as Trent squeezes his fingers around my neck. I gag and try to suck in air. Nothing happens. Thoughts flash through my head at a frenzied pace. I need air. He's going to kill me. My hands go to the fingers crushing my throat, but I can't pry them off. He's stronger than me and powerful, and he's going to win. Trent jerks and his fingers loosen. Ryan holds Trent in a headlock as I collapse to the ground and draw air into my burning lungs. My hands flutter near my neck and cover where his fingers marked my skin. Baby! Mom's hand joins mine on my throat. Are you okay? Dazed, I nod. Mom snatches my biceps and yanks in an effort to get me off the floor. Let's go! Ryan curses and I unsuccessfully struggle to stand. Help him, Mom! Ryan locks his other arm around Trent's neck and yells, Go, Beth! Trent battles against Ryan's hold, and Ryan's face strains as he fights to keep his grip. Mom shakes her head. Let's go! Now he'll hurt me! Trent elbows Ryan in the gut, swings around, and lands a blow to Ryan's face. Ryan falls. No! Screams and pleas fly from my mouth. Blood covers Ryan's face. Trent stands and kicks Ryan in the stomach. I scream out in pain when I place weight on my left arm. Help him, Mom! We have to go now, Lisbeth. Mom calmly slurs my name. I want to leave. I'll go with you now. I turn my head and stare at the eerie image of my mother. Her tired eyes, with their constricted pupils, look at me as if I'm a shadow instead of her daughter. Mom squeezes my hand again. For the first time, she's not rubbing her arm. Cradling my left arm close to my body, I grip the table and pull myself to my feet. You shot up. As I stand, Mom drops to the ground. In shame? In exhaustion? Too high? I don't know. Refusing to watch Ryan die, refusing to make eye contact with me, Mom covers her head with her arms and rocks over and over again. Blood pours over my eye and my sight wavers as my body sways to the side. My fingers accidentally hit Mom's cordless phone near the edge of the table. Heroin. It destroyed me 9 years ago. And one phone call cost me my father. Heroin. If I call, my mother will go to jail. Heroin. My finger slides against the numbers, and like 9 years ago, I listen to the phone ring once. Twice, a third time. The world turns black, then reappears in a fuzzy tunnel. My knees buckle and I force consciousness for a few more seconds. 911, what's your emergency?
Ryan. I set my cell to the loudest ringtone and place it on my chest before I rest my head on my pillow.
Beth's supposed to come home from the hospital today. Because of that, I've refused pain medication. I want to hear her voice on the other end of the line and know that she's only a mile down the road instead of 30 minutes away in Louisville. Then, for the first time in more than a week, I can sleep deeply. My body is one slow, throbbing ache. Every pressure point pounds in time with my pulse. Broken ribs, bruised everything, and cuts. Each and every injury worth the cost of saving Beth.
Can you tell me why?
My dad's voice carries into the room. My eyes flash open, and I turn my head to see him leaning against the doorframe with his gaze pinned to the floor. It's the first words he's said to me since I hit him. He's been around, present, but not speaking. I don't feel bad about it, because I haven't talked to him either, until now.
Why what? Why you risked it all for that girl?
Because I love her, and her name's Beth. No response. Sometimes I wonder if Dad knows what love is.
Scott called, he says stiffly. He wanted to remind you that there are rules now. He's angry with both of you, and he won't be letting her out of the house anytime soon.
I return my focus to the ceiling. I can deal with rules as long as I've got Beth. Scott's been a mixture of grateful and pissed. In hindsight, maybe I should have called him when I found Beth's note. But I don't think Beth would have listened to him. She needed me.
I don't think you should continue to see her, Dad says.
Don't remember asking. There's silence, and when I glance out of the corner of my eye, Dad's gone. Who knows if the two of us can fix what's been broken? My cell buzzes, and my stomach plummets when I notice Beth's name right above the text. She promised she'd call. Friends, right? I half chuckle. It's the first text she ever sent me. Always. The doorbell rings, and I rub my eyes. I'm too exhausted for guests, but they keep coming. My friends, the baseball team, my coaches, teachers, my parents' friends. Mom and Dad's slightly raised tones indicate that they're disagreeing over something. I don't care enough to figure out the issue. I expect them to continue the argument, but what I don't expect is Mom's voice at the door of my room. Because I said so. She throws a glare down the hallway before addressing me. Ryan, you have a guest. Before I can ask who, Beth walks into my room with her left arm in a sling. The breath slams out of my body. She's here. Forgetting about my injuries, I rush to sit up and wince. The smell of roses overwhelms me, and I glance up to see Beth by my side. You look like hell. Have you been resting at all? The right side of my mouth quirks up. It's nice to see you, too. I'm serious. Beth doesn't wear a worry well, and the ache on her face bothers me. I capture the hand she uses to try to push me back down, bring it to my lips, and kiss her palm. God, I've missed her. A clearing of a throat, and I notice Scott standing beside my mother at the door.
A few minutes, Beth. Then we're heading home.
Beth nods, and I watch my mother's reaction to a girl in my room. She studies us, almost like someone seeing a painting they don't quite get. There's no malice in her expression, just curiosity. I'm leaving the door open. Thanks, I say, and I mean it. Mom's trying now, not only with me, but with Mark, and I have Chris to thank for it. He called Mark when EMS brought me into the emergency room. Mark and Mom talked for the first time while I was in X-ray. Both are silent about the conversation they had, but they're speaking again. It's a start. Scott leans his head in when Mom leaves and stares straight at Beth.
Behave?
She rolls her eyes.
Because the moment you leave, we're going to go at it like wild animals. Please.
She motions to her arm.
Broken bones and bruises are so attractive.
Scott shakes his head as he follows Mom to the living room, and Beth mirrors his movements. Do they have any idea they're clones of each other? Beth sinks onto the bed and turns her head toward me. I don't like how she looks. Beyond the cuts on her face and head, plus the bruises, she's too pale and dark circles outline the bottom of her eyes. Wondering if I'm dreaming, I reach out and rub her hair between my fingers. It's silky and real. I let the strands fall and meet her gaze. How are you? I hate the way her forehead crinkles and the pain weighing her features. She closes her eyes briefly.
I'm so sorry. It's my fault he hurt you.
Nope, not going to hear it. I grab Beth's hand and coax her to lie with me on the bed. She resists.
But your mom...
What's she gonna say?
I'm hurt. You're hurt.
We got tired and lay down.
I want to hold you, so for once in your life, can you not fight me?
Wow. Someone's cranky.
Damn right I am.
But the knots twisting my gut begin to unravel when I lie back, and Beth wraps her body gingerly around mine. She's hesitant. Testing areas first to confirm the contact won't make me sore, and I'm gentle when placing an arm around her so that I don't jostle her arm. When we're settled, I exhale and close my eyes. I've dreamed of this for 7 days. Who knows? I'm probably dreaming now. If I am, maybe Beth will do something that's hard for her. Maybe she'll give me answers.
Why did you believe Gwen over me?
Beth. I readjust, snuggling closer to Ryan, but braced for signs that I've hurt him. I can hear his heart now, and the inhale and exhale of air through his lungs. If I weren't so damn tired, I could possibly cry. I thought I lost him at my mom's apartment. Ryan runs a hand through my hair and I lick my lips, searching for courage. He deserves an answer, if not because he risked his life to save me, then because I love him. I didn't trust you. His heart beats several times before he speaks again. Why? Because I was stupid? I don't know. I don't have Ryan's way with words. They're hard for me, difficult, at least words that have emotion. I guess it was easier to believe that you used me rather than loved me. To be honest, I don't get it. Why would someone like you want to be with someone like me? Ryan tips my chin up so that I have to look him in the eye. Because I love you, Beth. You're everything I want to be. You're alive and live without apology. I never would have made love to you if I thought you didn't trust me or love me. And I never would have done it if I didn't trust and love you. I lean up on my elbow and my heart is practically yanked out of my chest by the hurt in his eyes. I do love you, and I want to trust you. It's just that I try and... Just damn. I slam my good hand on the bed. Why can't I explain it? Why am I so impaired? Hey. The authority in his tone causes me to meet his gaze. My heart stalls when Ryan caresses my cheek with one finger. And under his touch, my skin turns red. I miss this. I've missed him. Maybe I'm not fucking this all up. Breathe, he instructs. It's okay. Take your time. But just keep talking. Keep talking? I actually stick out my tongue in disgust, and Ryan fights a smile. If he weren't so battered already, I'd sock his arm. I blow out a rush of air and try again. I don't know. I just don't trust me. I blink, and so does Ryan. And it feels sort of scary and exposing to have said something so raw. He rubs my arm, urging me to continue, and I don't know how to continue. That's bull. I just don't want to continue. But this is beyond what I want. This is about me and Ryan. I don't want to make bad choices anymore. I glance at him, hoping I'm making sense, because I'm not sure that I am. And I sort of think that any choice is bad because I'm making it. And then I meet you, and you're great, and you're wonderful, and you love me, and I love you. And I'm just so damned scared I'm going to screw it all up. I slam my eyes shut, and my lower lip trembles. And I did. I messed it all up again. Ryan cups my cheek with his palm. I lean into it and open my eyes. I'm glad it happened, he says. I thought they ran an MRI on your head. His eyes laugh. They did. Just answer me this. Before Trent arrived, were you going to leave with me? I swallow, and I'm nodding before I answer. Yes. Why? My eyes narrow as I try to understand the question. No, Beth. Don't think about it. Just give me the first answer that comes to mind. Why were you going to leave with me? My eyes flash to his, and my mouth pops open. No. It's not possible, because if it is, then it's a first for me. The same hope I've seen a million times from Ryan builds on his face. Is it possible he's known all along? Say it, Beth. I love you. Those used to be the hard words, but now they're easier. I exhale and the air shakes as it comes out of my mouth. Nice try, he says. The other thing. Say that. Ryan, my throat dries out and sweat forms along my hairline. I'm scared. I know. He tucks my hair behind my ear. But it's okay. His fingers slowly trail down my arm, over my sling, and he rests his fingertips against mine. A warmth unfurls within me, starting in my heart and flowing through my bloodstream. It creates a weird sensation of chains unlocking and breaking free. It's almost as if I'm floating. I trust you, I say. I was going to leave with you because I trust you. Ryan's silent, but the small, peaceful smile on his face causes me to smile in return. I wonder if my smile looks like his. I trust him. Ryan. It's a little scary, but not as much as I thought it would be. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is the beginning Scott's talked about for months. The clean slate. Was that so hard? He asks. Yes. Ryan touches my hair again. It's like he requires the contact to confirm I'm not a ghost. You need to learn how to start trusting yourself. I flop down so that my head rests on the pillow beside him. Ryan's slow as he shifts. Our faces are so close that our noses almost touch. My arm begins to ache, and I have a feeling Scott will show soon because he's timed my pain med schedule into his phone. Do you mind if I heal first before I tackle any more long-lost resurfacing emotional issues? Ryan tilts his head, and I silently swear. Apparently, we're not done yet.
You're kidding me, right?
Scott said Isaiah came to the hospital, he begins. I nod, preferring not to go into this now, or ever. Noah visited me several times while I was in the hospital, once with Echo, and twice on his own. He told me that Isaiah paced the waiting room until he heard I was going to be okay. Then he left. My best friend left.
I think we should talk about it.
The fingers of my left hand try to tighten, but the blast of pain keeps me from making a fist. I hiss at the sting, and Ryan edges closer.
Are you okay?
Yes, I bite out. It's just, I already told you that it's not like that for him with me. I believe you. My brow begins to lift, and I stop when the stitches on my forehead pull. Damn it. I'm never going to be able to move again. Then why bring it up? Ryan sucks in a breath, and I can tell this conversation is eating at him as much as it is me.
Are you going to see him again?
No.
Yes.
If he'll let me. But he left the hospital without talking to me. I don't know what that means. Screw that. Yes, of course I'll see him again. Isaiah and I are friends. And he's going to realize that, even if I have to take a 2x4 to him. He looks torn between a smile and a sigh.
And you wonder why I'm concerned.
What's that supposed to mean? You've got to admit, the life you lived in Louisville is different than the one you have now. I'm scared that if you have a place to run, a person to run to, when things get tough, you'll go.
Ryan stretches out the fingers of my left hand that had begun to retighten.
There's always going to be someone doubting us, Beth. And I can't be in this if you're always running.
No more running, I promise.
It's almost painful to step past my pride to say the rest.
You were right. In Louisville, about me having a life in Groveton. I have you, but I also have Scott and Lacey and school. I like who I am here.
Me too, he says, as if proving his case.
But Isaiah and I go back too far for me to abandon him. I'm here, heart, soul, body. Groveton's my home, but I will never abandon a friend, especially my best friend.
I stare at the comforter beneath us. I need you to be okay with it, because I'm not budging when it comes to him.
After a few moments of silence, I risk a glance. Ryan eventually caves.
Fine. He's your friend. If you're going to trust me, then I'm going to trust you.
I kick off my shoes and rub my toe against his foot. It's the best I can do with an arm in a sling.
Deal.
I love you, and I swallow my fear and push through.
I trust you.
Good. Ryan's muscles visibly settle and his eyelids flutter.
Good, I repeat, allowing myself to relax along with him.
You know I want to hear it again.
Ryan moves closer, wraps a protective arm around my waist, and shuts his eyes.
I trust you.
Nice try. I softly mock elbow him with my padded cast, and his chest moves as he chuckles.
Feels so good to tease him again.
The other thing. Say that.
I love you.
Enjoying his warmth and strength, I melt into him and close my own eyes.
Again.
I love you, he whispers.
Again.
But this time, my mind drifts as I hear his soft declaration. I mean to demand the words again, but then my head finds his chest. His heart beats steadily in my ear, and I have my answer. Both Ryan and I lose ourselves in each other and sleep.
Ryan. A year ago, I had my life completely mapped out. Turns out, no one knows the future. I slip my arms through the suit coat and readjust my shoulders so the jacket will fit properly on my body. The bruises and cuts faded, but my ribs still ache by the end of the day. Especially if I've pushed myself too hard.
Your tie's crooked.
Mom leans one shoulder against the doorframe and gives a disapproving nod as she looks at my throat.
Come here.
I inch away from the dresser, and Mom undoes the knot.
You look nice, she says,
except for the tie. Mom's lips tilt up as she slides the tie to measure it against my chest.
Except for the tie.
How do you feel? Good. Lines worry her eyes and she strains to hold the smile.
I know the doctor cleared you to start practicing, but I think you should wait another week or two, just to be sure everything's healed correctly.
Mom expertly weaves the tie into a knot and tightens it up to my throat. She stares at it for a second before letting her hand touch my cheek. A rare physical gesture for both of us.
I'm glad you're okay.
She withdraws. I talked to your brother again this morning. He asked how you were doing. Mark knows how I'm doing. We've talked on the phone every day since I was released from the hospital. Mark must still be feeling awkward talking to Mom and looking for the easiest conversation to have. I busy myself with buttoning my cuffs. What did you tell him? That you're stubborn like your father and wouldn't tell me if you were in pain. I'm fine, Mom. Mom fiddles with her pearls. If we had listened to you that morning, if we had listened to you weeks before, if I had stood up to your father when Mark told us, none of this would have happened. It's okay. I wish they had listened to me the morning Beth ran away. I wish they had listened to me weeks before when I told them I cared for her. I wish Mom had stood up to Dad and kept Mark in our family, but none of that happened. Even if it did, there's no telling if it would have stopped the nightmare in motion. Beth ran away because living in Groveton terrified her. She would have run regardless of what had happened between us. And because I love her, I would have followed. Mom sighs and falls into social mode. Mark's coming for dinner on Sunday. I thought we should keep it simple. Just me, you, Mark, hopefully your father. Sounds great. Even though we both know Dad will go into town while Mark is home, Dad still refuses to acknowledge Mark exists. Nothing much has changed in my parents' marriage. Mom's choosing me and Mark, and Dad dropped the idea of running for mayor. But he's still home, and they're still going to counseling. As I said, who knows what the future might bring? Don't forget the corsage. Mom slips out of the room. I grab my car keys, the Red Rose wrist corsage, and head out to the garage. From the corner of my eye, I see Dad sitting behind his desk in his office. We haven't talked since that day in my bedroom, and I guess today won't be the day either of us breaks our silence. As I open the door to my Jeep, I hear the squeak of his chair and footsteps against the cement floor. Dad walks to his tool bench and sifts through the boxes of bolts and nuts. Your mom told me you signed a national letter of intent to play for the University of Louisville. My muscles tense in preparation for a fight. The letter required a parent to sign with me, and I asked Mom for help. Yes, sir. She said that you're planning on playing with the team for a year, then reassessing whether or not you're ready to go pro. Feeling naked without my cap, I rub the back of my head. I could go the easy route and give him a simple yes, but I'm done saying or doing whatever it takes to appease him. At the end of my freshman year, I'll decide if I'm good enough to go pro. I'm also going to major in creative writing. I love writing and baseball, and I want to give them both a shot. Dad slides a drawer full of nails closed and nods his head. Did you get her a corsage? Girls love flowers. I hold the clear box in my hand. Yeah, I say, and lift it up so he can see. You taught me that.
Beth. Scott and Allison's bedroom is too gaudy for my taste. The curtains are blue silk and frilly things like flowers and paintings of flowers decorate every available space. The bed is beyond massive. Scott and Allison don't have to go to separate rooms if they fight. They can roll over a couple of times and be in different zip codes. I sit on the overly cushioned chair in front of Allison's vanity and watch as she pins the hair onto my head. I hate the updo, but I can't complain. An hour ago, she dyed 6 stripes of temporary black color in my hair. Now my hair is 1.5 inches of golden blonde at the roots. Black flows over my shoulders, and stripes even it out. Scott is going to be pissed. Yes, she says. He is, but I'll deal with that. My lips curve, and when Allison catches it in the mirror, she smiles too.
We've had an uneasy truce since I came home from the hospital, and sometimes I'm scared I'm going to say the wrong thing and send her over the edge. Why are you being nice to me? Allison lifts the curling iron again and shoots me a glare when I fidget. She twists a few strands that refuse to be a part of her plan. Because Scott loves you. He loved me before, but that didn't keep her from hating every cell in my body. Not like I helped. I'm sorry I accused you of trapping him. The curling rod pulls at the roots of my hair and I bite my lip. She releases the hair and little ringlets dance on the back of my neck. Okay, I deserve the pulling and the ringlets. Maybe now we'll be even. Allison sets the iron back on her vanity. I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't want you here. I blink. That was blunt, yet honest. Scott told me about his past, but it was easy to pretend it was a story until you came into the picture. I prefer life clean and simple. You made Scott complicated. Scott was always complicated. Allison spritz his hairspray on me. I know that now. Scott clears his throat and both Allison and I turn to see him entering the room. I stand and Scott grins when he sees me in the black strapless dress with a skirt that ends at the knees. He frowns again when he sees my hair. I did it, says Allison, without a hint of guilt. Scott's eyes widen. You did that? You told her last weekend she could wear those god-awful shoes with her dress, and I told her that you'd regret it. I fidget in my official Chuck Taylors. I'm wearing pantyhose. That was a major concession on my part. You should put on a sweater, Scott says. She's not wearing a sweater, Allison swats at him. That would look wretched. I don't care how she looks. I care how much skin is showing. Allison leans forward and Scott kisses her lips. I glance away. They do this more since I came home from the hospital. Not just kissing, but kissing like they mean it. Kissing because they truly love each other. She steps out of the room and Scott shoves his hands in his pockets. I resist the urge to scratch my healing temple. She covered the cut with the makeup. I noticed. He gestures to my left hand. How's it feeling? I shrug. Fine. The black cast is temporary. Trent shattered lots of the bones in my hand, wrist, and arm. I'll have to have another surgery in 2 weeks. My non-damaged fingers drum against my leg. I thought I could go without asking, but I can't. How did Mom's court appearance go? Mom and Trent had preliminary hearings yesterday. I told Scott that I didn't want to know what happened, but the curiosity is eating me alive. It's okay to want to know. He meets my eyes while I wrestle with the millions of emotions tugging me in different directions. I nod and he continues. She accepted the plea bargain and will be serving 6 years. Trent pleaded not guilty against his lawyer's recommendation. The DA thinks they can get him to serve 15 years. A ball of dread forms in my stomach and I sink back into the chair. Then there will be a trial? Scott lowers his head. All of us had hoped to avoid this. Yes. Ryan and I will have to face Trent again when we testify. I take a deep breath to calm myself. Did you talk to Mom? I ask. He shakes his head, and I'm not sure how I feel about that. I'm not sure how I feel about my mom at all. 6 years? My mom is going to prison for 6 years, and I'm the one who put her there. You did the right thing, kid. I know, I say softly. I do know, but it doesn't mean that it sucks any less. The doorbell rings and the dread starts to fade. Ryan's here. A good-natured smile settles on Scott's face, and Prince Charming awaits. Hey, Scott. He motions for me to continue. How could you keep the heroin to yourself? I mean, that's a pretty big secret. I know that you wanted something to blackmail me with. But it was heroin? Scott scratches behind his ear. I was in the process of hiring private detectives to find you when your aunt called. When I got to the police station, there was no way you were going home with anyone but me. One look at your mom, and I knew things were bad. He sighs. She was so jumpy around the cops that I figured she was hiding something. I would have said anything I had in order to keep you. But I never used the word heroin with you or your mom. And I never went into your mom's apartment. I guessed that she had a secret, and I bluffed. And I sort of feel like an idiot. A happy idiot, but an idiot nonetheless. Well played. He smirks. I think so. At the 2-minute warning, my hands begin to sweat, including the one in the cast. Indian summer in Kentucky has a strange way of making November feel like July. As we walk to the open field behind the scoreboard, Ryan holds my hand, and he doesn't seem to care if it's cold and wet. People yell and scream from the bleachers, and the announcer informs the crowd that our team is at the 1st and 10, whatever the hell that means. The other couples nominated for homecoming court stand closer to the lamppost, but I hesitate farther back, and Ryan plays along. Gwen won't bother you, he says. I know. He's right. She won't. Since Ryan and I returned to school, she's been less than her normal stuck-up self, quiet and withdrawn. She apologized to both me and Ryan. I accepted it, but it doesn't mean I have to like her or be near her. Perfectly groomed, Gwen stands off to the side of the group. I sort of feel bad for her. Guilt is a horrible emotion. I should know. We could go talk to Carly and Brent, Ryan teases. She's a big fan of yours. I roll my eyes. Carly and I were paired as lab partners today. See? Best friends already. Lacey will be pissed someone is encroaching on her territory. That's exactly what's going to happen, I say sarcastically. Carly's nice. She's chipper. Same thing. Nice is nice. Chipper is annoying. We should double date with them. My eyes almost pop out of my head. Are you kidding me? I'm about to walk out onto that football field and make a fool out of myself. And you want me to consider double dating with Mr. and Mrs. Chipper? Have you lost your mind? Ryan chuckles, then winks. I just wanted to see you get aggravated. I wrinkle my nose. You're annoying. He lets go of my hand, slips his arm around my waist, and pulls me close to his strong body. You're beautiful. The corners of my lips turn up, and I slide my right arm around his neck. I miss touching you with both hands. It's weird seeing the ribbon on your other wrist, he says. I shiver when Ryan caresses the sensitive skin above my cast and rubs the small of my back. Joyous and devious warmth spreads throughout my body. I never take it off. I miss you in my bed, he murmurs so only I can hear. My smile grows and Ryan's face reddens. That's not what I meant. I meant I miss sleeping with you. I know what he means. It's a little hard to slip out with a broken hand. He lowers his head to mine, and his hold on me tightens. I'm sorry I didn't protect you better. Ryan, no. I would have died if it wasn't for you. It's over now, he whispers against my mouth. I expectantly part my lips for his kiss. It is. Mr. Stone, Ms. Risk, calls the assistant principal. A little more space between you and a lot more paying attention? It's time for you to get onto the field. I deflate and wrap my hand on Ryan's bent arm so he can escort me out underneath the glaring lights. I wanted Ryan to kiss me. I needed him to kiss me. Over the PA system, our names are announced and Ryan leads me to the 50-yard line. People yell and scream, the loudest cheers coming from the section where we left Lacey, Chris, and Logan. When you win, says Ryan, don't forget, you said you'd keep that tiara on your pretty little head all night. My eyes widen as I realize how I can get exactly what I want. We stop in the middle of the field and I turn to him. Kiss me. Not just a peck. The real deal. Ryan glances around at the bleachers full of hundreds of people. Excuse me? I, Beth Risk, do double dog dare you to kiss me in front of all these people. Ryan's eyes brighten, and the arrogant smile that makes my heart trip over itself spreads across his face. Are you forgetting dare etiquette? You have to dare before you can double dog dare. I roll my eyes. Fine, I dare you to kiss me. And if I do? If I win homecoming, which I won't, I'll wear that damn tiara for a week straight. He cradles my face with both his hands. His lips whisper against mine, and I ache for him to kiss me. My mind whines that he won't do it. But then he nibbles on my lower lip. His mouth parts, and the two of us move our lips hungrily in time with one another. In between gasps of air, our names are called as the winners. I feel Ryan's lips tug into a smile before he says one word, can. This has been an Audible, Inc. and Harlequin production of Dare You To, written by Katie McGarry, narrated by Christopher Gebauer and Brittany Presley. Supervising producer, Mike Charzik. Producer, Kat Lambrix. Copyright 2013 by Katie McGarry. Production copyright 2013 by Audible, Inc.